We begin the current daf, Masech the site, the daf Yud Zayin. Begin on the top of the Yamed. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on this theme about the proceedings that are done when the site was finally brought up to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, because her husband had done Kinui and then Stira, she had done Stira. So then there's what's known as the Parshas Saita, which is written on the Megillah, and that's the part that's erased into the water, which again has Hashem's name that's erased. That's part of the drink that she drinks, which has the water, has the words that are erased inside, and has the dust that we spoke about in previous dafim. So the mission begins, Bolei lichtav es ha-Megillah. When the Kayin comes to write the scroll, which is then subsequently going to be erased in the water itself, so me'ezim makom hu kaysev. So from which place does he start? Now, to introduce this, there's the whole parasha of the Saita, which is Bamidbar Parakei. Now, for Pasuk Yud Tes, the Pasuk of Beis is important for Pesukim in regards to our Mishnah. That is, the Pesukim there begins in Pasuk Yud Tes. It says, Vishbiha Isa HaKoin, that the Koin will make the woman take an oath. V'amra Leish, and I'll tell the woman as follows. Im loy shachav ish oisach, if a man did not lay with you, vim loy sotis tumah tachas ishech, and you didn't stray in defilement when you were married with your husband, so hinokimi mihamorim hama'orim ho'ela, then you'll be cleansed and you'll be pure from these bitter, cursed waters. That's Pasuk Yud Tes. Then the Kohen continues, Pasuk Chaf. That, but you kisotis tachas ishech, but if you did stray from beneath your husband, b'chinitmes, and you became defiled, v'yitinish, Bach eshachavtoi, and that a man lay with you, mimbalade ishach, besides your husband. That obviously is referring to if she did bad. Then Pasuk Chaf Aleph continues and says, Vishbiya hakoin esa isha bishvua sa'ala, that the kohen will make the woman take an oath with an oath of the curse. Vamar kohen leisha, and the kohen tells the woman, Yitin Hashem isach la'ala v'lishvua. Hashem should place you as a curse and as an oath, b'seich amech, amongst your people. B'seis Hashem esi reichich nefeles, when Hashem makes that your thighs collapse, b'sbit nechtzavan, that your stomach bloats and expands. And then Pasuk Chav Beis says, uvo hamayim hama'orim ho'eila, that these cursed waters will come, b'me'ayich latzbeis button, in your stomach, to bloat your intestines, v'lampo yarech, and to have your thighs collapse. And v'amar ha'isha amen amen, the woman says, yes, yes, she agrees to whatever was aforementioned regarding the curse and the oath. That was a Pesukim in Yotes, Chav, Chav Aleph, and Chav Beis, four Pesukim. Now, on that is what our Mishnah has a three-way machlokes regarding. These are the elements of the Pesukim within the Parsha Saita, which talk about the specifics of the oath that she has to take and the curses, and those are what's written as the Gemara will say from the next Pasuk, in Pasuk Chav Gimel, which says, that the Kohen has to write these curses in the scroll, and then this is what erased in the bitter waters. So essentially, these four Pesukim have to be written. So what from these four Pesukim are considered the curses that have to be written? So three machlekes. So the Tanakhama says, Me'im loyshochav ish v'goymer. So you start from Pasuk Yud Tes, which talks about that if a man didn't lay with you, and as the Pasuk there continues, Ve'im loisotis tuma, you didn't stray, becoming defiled, etc., which Pasuk Yud Tes are, they're not specifically straightforward curses, but as we'll see in the Gemara, it's what's called Klolis Habois Machmas Brachas. It's a backhanded curse, meaning it's talking about blessings, which is saying, oh, if you didn't do anything wrong, everything will be good with you. But the inference is, if you did something wrong, then you'll get the curses. So it sounds like that. But if you did stray, then you're not going to be cleansed. You're not going to be clean from what you had done. So therefore, Pasuk Yud Tes is included in as the olis, as the curses that are supposed to be written. Then the Tanakhama holds, you continue writing with Pasuk Chof, which is Va'at ki sotis tachas ishech. But however, if you did stray from beneath your husband, whereas the Pasuk that continues v'chit nimes, and you became tameh, so that's obviously from the bad things that she had done, which is included, and obviously you should just know, dot, 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 what the curses are going to be. Now, the Eina Kaisa, but the Tanakhama says, you do not write the beginning of Pasuk Chaf Aleph, which says, Vishbiya HaKoin HaSeisha, that the Koin makes the woman take an oath, because that's not a curse. That's just a commandment from Hashem, which is commanding the Koin to make the woman take an oath. But, says the Tanakhama, V'chaisa, you write the end of that Pasuk, which says that, what does the Kohen make the woman take an oath? Yitin Hashem Eisach La'ala B'Lishvu. Hashem should place you, he says, to the woman as a curse, as an oath. That's obviously the curses which are supposed to be written in that scroll, which is going to be raised in the waters. And then you continue writing with Pasuk Chav Beis, which is obviously the curses, which says, Uvo Hamayim Ha'Ma'orim Ha'Ela B'Ma'ayich, that these bitter, cursed waters will come into your stomach, Latzris Batin, to make your stomach bloat, V'Lampu Yarech, and to have the thighs collapse. Now, but V'Eina Kaisa, but you don't write the end of that Pasuk Chav Beis, which ends off, V'Amra Isha Amen Amen, that the woman says, yes, yes, which is her acceptance of the, that the woman accepts the oath, and however, that's not part of the curses, it's just her acceptance, and therefore that's not written into the Megillah, into the scroll which is raised in the waters. That's the Tanakh. Now, Rabbi Yisrael, he says, Loi Hoya Mafsik. He says, from the moment you start with Pasuk Yutes, which starts off, Im Loi Shachav Ish Eisach, that if a man didn't lay with you, until the end of Pasuk of Beis, which says, Amen, Amen, that there's no interruption in Rabbi Yisrael, he writes everything. Where he even writes the words Vishbiya Koina Seisha, that the Koin makes the woman take an oath, and even the woman's acceptance, when it says in the Pasuk, Vamar Isha Amen Amen, everything is written in that Parsha Saita to be raised in the water. Now the third opinion, Behudami says, Kol Atzmoi, which Rashi says is just a type of an expression, which means to say that a person should be careful, that Eina Kaisiv Ella, that actually the only thing that's written are curses themselves, which is that even the words of Im Leishachev Ish Eisach, that if a man didn't lay with you, he naki, you'll be clean, even that wasn't written, meaning of Pasuk Yutes. And for sure, Rabbi Yehuda holds that when it says, let's say, Vishbi'a Kain, which is just a tzava, just a commandment of the Kain, is definitely not written. Rather, the only thing that you write are specific curses, which says, Yitin Hashem Eisach La'ala V'Leshvua V'Gaymer, that Hashem should make you as a curse and an oath, and then Uvo Hamayim Ha'Ma'or Mo'ela B'Ma'ayich, that is by Pasuk HaBeis, that the cursed water should come into your stomach, etc. Ve'ena Kaisim, and of course it doesn't write the end of that Pasuk, which is Amar Isha Amen Amen, that the woman says yes, yes, which, although we're writing that Pasuk because it has curses, but the end of the Pasuk, which is not a curse, you don't write. So B'Yudha holds you only write the exact curses themselves. So the Gemara says, Kamifliki, what exactly is the underpinning of this Machlekes, the three Machlekes regarding what is written inside the Megillah, which is erased? On the one hand, we have Rabbi Yehuda, who says you only write the curses. You have Rabbi Yisi, who says you write everything. And then we have the Tanna Kamma, who picks and chooses, who says that even things are not explicitly curses, even things which are inferentially curses, that you're going to write. It's just that things which are not related to that, like commandment, the commandment for the Kayin or the woman acceptance, that's not written. So the Gemara says, Baha'i Krog HaMiflike. They're arguing in how do you define the next Pasuk, which is the Pasuk of Gimel that we mentioned before, in Bamidbar, where it says, V'chasev ha'olos ha'ela ha'koin ba'sefer, that the Kohen will write these curses, ha'olos ha'ela, in the Sefer, meaning in the scroll, which is then going to be erased in the water, and that's what she drinks. So the Gemara explains, Remeir Sava, who he's the Tanna Kamma of our Mishnah, he holds that olos, when it says that in this Pasuk that he writes if without a hay, if it just says he writes curses, so olos mamish, that would tell you that he writes curses which are Yitin Hashem Eisach, and Uvah Hamayim Hamor Meil B'Ma'ayich, those which are explicitly curses, like Rabbi Yehuda holds you write the curses, those would be included already from the word olos. Now, it says ha'olos, the curses, hey, an extra hey. What's that coming to teach? It says, Remeir L'Rabbis Klolis Amboyis Machmas Brachas. That comes to include curses that are inferred and come from when it talks about a blessing, meaning in Pasuk Yutes, when it says, Hinaki Mimei Hamarim, that, oh, if you didn't do anything wrong, you'll be cleansed from the bitter waters. The inference is, but if you're not clean, if you did something wrong, then you'll get the curse. So even that, Pasuk Yutes is written because it's a klala that's inferred from the bracha. Now, when that's where in the word it says, because of ha'olos ha'ela, the curses, which always tells us the curses, and ha'olos tells us even those which are inferred as a curse. Then when it says ha'ela, so if it just said the word ela, these, which that means to say this and not something else, it's the exclusionary term, that's lemu'ute klolish ha'bemishnah tar. That excludes the curses that are written in Sefer Devarim, where is well known as the Techacha, as the rebuke, which talks about many horrible things that will befall the Jewish people. Now, the reason being is because had the Pasuk written, v'kasev es ha'olos ba'sefer, if it didn't write the word ela, if it just said you write the curses in the Sefer, I would have thought that you even write the curses in other places in the Sefer Torah, which are in Mishneh Torah, where it says, Yakra Hashem b'shachefes, where those curses are called Allah, as we find in Devarim Chavtes, when it talks about it over there, it says, V'hayi b'shamei esdiri ha'Allah ha'zayis. So we see that the Techa is considered an Allah too, so we would have thought that you write that too. That's why it says, Eila these, no, these curses that are written here by the Saita, and not other curses in the Torah. Now, that's if it says just the word Eila. But it says Ha'Eila, which the extra Hey is coming to include something else. That's even Lamu'utit, that comes to include in something else, not just the curses of Mishnah Torah. But Lamu'utit Tzavois, it comes to exclude the commandments in this parasha of Saita. For example, where it says Vishbi'a Koyin Nesi'isha, that's just a Tzava, where that it's what it's coming to say is that you would think maybe that you don't skip, like Rabbi Yisi holds, you just write everything straight. That's why we need the Hey of Ha'ela to exclude the Tzavois. And the Kabbalah's Amen, and to exclude, let's say where it says Va'amar Yisha Amen Amen, which is just her acceptance of those curses, that's not written either. Now the Gemara will shortly ask that why is it different, according to a mayor, that the Hey of Ha'alois comes to include something written, whereas the Hey of Ha'ela is actually used to exclude something. Is Hey an inclusionary term or an exclusionary term? But that's the opinion of a mayor, where he learns the specifics of his opinion, where from the Hays of the Ha'alais and Ha'ela, he comes to include or exclude other things. That's how he has his opinion, where it's not only the specific curses, even those which are inferred as curses, whereas, however, it does exclude the curses of Mishneh Torah, and also even the Tzavois and the Kabbalahs that are written over here. You don't write everything. You don't write things that are not related to the curses at all. That's Ramei of the Tanakhama's opinion. Rabbi Yasi, Kulu Kudika Amrit. Rabbi Yasi says to Remeir that everything you said, I agree to. Which is that when it says Alois, it means the curses themselves. When it says Ha'alois, that comes to include the Klalis that are Bois Machmas Bracha, which is Pasuk Yutes. When it says Eila, that comes to include the curses of Mishneh Torah and of the Teichacha, as Rashi says, of Teres Kanim and Sefer Vayikra. But Rabbi Yasi says one thing I do argue in Remeir is that the Hey of Ha'ela is not used to expound, to exclude the Tzavois and the Kabbalists. As we see Rabbi Yisrael's opinion on Mishnah, he says you write everything, which includes even Veshbi'a Koin, which is the Tzavo, and V'amar Yisha Amen Amen, which is her Kabbalah. And the reason why he argues under Meir is because the word S, it says, because of S, Ha'olei Sa'ela. What is the S necessary for? That's the rubbish that comes to include Tzavois and Kabbalists, because as we find always that S is something that's like a tuffle, that's like secondary, which is what these, the commandment and the acceptance are secondary, that even that is going to be included and written in the Sefer of the Parasha Saita that's erased in the waters. Now, as Rashi points out, that must be, or Rabbi Yisi holds, that the Hey of Ha'ela is just Urche, that's just the way how it's normally written, and that's why it's not used to expound something like Rabbi Meir holds, which is to exclude Savois for Kabbalahs. Rabbi Yisi holds, no, it's included from the word S. Now, but the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir, Esam Leidarsh, he doesn't expound the word S to say that it's darshening anything, and therefore he learns out from the extra hey to say that it's excluding Tzavos v'Kabbalos. That's Rabbi Yisi's opinion. So therefore, according to me, write everything. Rabbi Yehuda, he actually, kulu, he learns all the heys that are written, b'miyuti darash lehu. He expounds them as exclusionary terms. That is, and that actually, as we'll ask on Rameir, why he, by one hey includes and one excludes, Rabbi Yehuda holds, all the heys are exclusionary terms. When it says alois, okay, that's alois mamash. It says the curses you write the curses. When it says ha'alois, that extra hey, unlike Remeir and Yabisi, he does not come to include other things which are pasuk yutes, the klolis ha'bois machmas bracha. Rather, it's lemu'ute klolis ha'bois machmas bracha. It actually comes to exclude that pasuk of, that talks about a pasuk yutes, which is the inferential curse. You don't write that. Therefore, he says, you don't write that. When it says Eila, like everyone agrees, that's lemu'ute klolis ha'bois mishnah Torah. That's exclusionary. That says only these curses you write, but not other curses are written in the Torah. And more of a ha'ela is lemu'utei tzavos v'kabbalos. Like Meir said, he learns this hey also like an exclusionary term, which excludes the commandments of Vishbi'a Koin and the Kabbalah's acceptance, and therefore comes out that according to Yehuda, the only thing that you're writing are the curses, specific those that are written explicitly as curses. So that explains the three opinions of our Mishnah. Now the Gemara asks, as we mentioned before, Remeir, Maishnohai hei demar bibe. Why does he differentiate? Why by ha'alois, he says that extra hey of ha'alois comes to include something else, which is not only the explicit curses, but even the inferential curses. And why is it by the word eila, when it says ha'eila, he uses that hey to exclude things, which are the tzavois and the kabbalis. So now the Gemara answers, hey, the gabe de ribuya, a hey that's written by a word, that's a prefix of a word that's an exclusion, an inclusionary term, because always is an inclusionary term, it's what is written. What's written is the curses. So ha always comes to include something just like that, which is also written, which is going to be the inferential curses. So therefore, ribuyahi. Hey diga be de miuta, but a hey that's a prefix of an exclusionary term, which eila means these, it's an exclusionary but not others, meaning those of the taichacha, is therefore also going to be a miuta, and therefore it's used to exclude the tzavois and the kabbalahs, and therefore it's not difficult according to Ramey why he differentiates, because it depends what it's a prefix to, and that's what it's coming to add on to. If it's an inclusionary term, it comes to include more. If it's an exclusionary term, it comes to exclude more. Now, however, the Gemara does have a question, according to Remeir's opinion, that he learns that you write pasig your test, the first pasig, which is the inferential curse. It's a klolis habois machmes brachis. And the reason was because it doesn't say just olis, it says ha-olis. And that asks the Gemara, but vahales leil Remeir mechlal lava tishameyahen. Remeir does not hold of this concept, which is known as that from the fact that it says no, you obviously know that yes, which is seemingly what Remeir is saying from Pasuk Yutes. It only talks about a blessing of it. It says, tells the woman, look, if you didn't do anything wrong, you're okay. Next Pasuk talks about the curses. But Remeir says, you write the first Pasuk because the inference is, haha, but if you did something wrong, then you will get punished. Now the problem is Remeir doesn't hold to that concept of inferential statements, because as we learn in the Mishnah Masechtas Kedushin, there are mayors of the opinion that you need what's called a t'nai kafel. When you're making conditions with other people in regards to halacha, it has to be a double bind condition. How so? Where Remeir says over there, he says, any condition that's not what's called as the condition of b'nei Gad and b'nei Reuven is not a condition where they wanted the Transjordan land. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, we need everyone to go over in Eretz Yisrael and fight the war. So on that, Moshe Rabbeinu said, look, im yavru, if you go over and you fight the war, oh, then you'll get the Transjordan. Moreover, he says, but v'im lo yavri, if you don't go over, then you don't get it. Now, the inference Remeir says is that you have to say both sides. It's not enough to say that, oh, if you do, and obviously if you don't. So therefore, if you don't double it over, we're not going to say mechla lava to shemehen. He holds you need a tonight kafel. So how over here is he saying that you write pasuk yutes, which is inferential curse, when he doesn't hold of inferences as regards to halachic concepts? So that Amr B'Tanchem explains that pasuk yutes, it says the word you'll be cleansed without a yud, which sounds like two things you can interpret that word. That yes, it talks about the bracha, which is hinaki, you'll be cleansed, as the pasuk there says, im lo yishachav ish aysach, if a man did not lay with you. But you could also expound, and that's where Remeir is coming from, not because of, oh, you're cleansed if you did nothing wrong, but you'll have problems if you did. No, that he doesn't do. It's just that he could go back on the words of Tuma Tachas, when it says the words right before it, it says Tuma Tachas Ishech. Now, although that simple translation of the pasuk is going on where it says Im Lo Yishachav Ish Aysach, if a man doesn't lay with you, Vim Lo Yisotis Tuma Tachas Ishech, then Hinoki Mimei Amar. But however, you could expand the pasuk of where if you stop and you make a comment, you say But Tuma Tachas Ishech. But if you were Tummy when you were married with your husband, then Hinki. And a hey is interchangeable with a ches. It's part of the same area of the mouth and where they're interchangeable. So therefore, you can read a chinki, that you'll get chenek, that you will die. And therefore, it's not coming because of a machlala vatashimehen. It's not saying, oh, if you'll be cleansed, obviously if you did something wrong, you'll have trouble. No, it's saying explicitly in this pasuk, at least ba'ifin drush, in the way of an exposition, that if tamatachas ishech, then hinki, which we can read chinki, because it doesn't say yud over there, and that's how Remeir would say why you see within that pasuk a klala, although the pasuk itself is talking about machmas brachas, but it says it not because of machlava tashmihen, and that's why Remeir says you write pasuk yutes also in the Megillah of the Saita. Now continuing on the more on the Gadik level of the concepts of Saita, the Gemara says Darsha Bekiva. Bekiva Darshan, he said expositions on this concept of Saita. He says as follows, Ish v'isha zachu, the man and a woman, if they merit to go in the upright path, which is that he does not become an adulterer and she's not an adulteress, they have fidelity in the marriage, then shechina b'neim, then the divine presence rest among them. Meaning Hashem, what he does is he takes his name of Ka, of God, and he splits his name and between the husband and the wife, and that's how his divine presence rests among the two of them, which is he takes the Yud from his name and puts it in the man, and he takes the Hey of his name and he puts it by the woman, where the man has the word Ish, which has the Yud, and the woman is called Isha, which is the letter Hey. Now, lo yizach, if they don't merit the divine presence because they do things inappropriately, then Ish oichlosim, then the fire consumes them, because what happens is that Hashem removes his name from them, so you're left from the Ish and the Isha. If Hashem takes out the Yud from the man and the Hey from the woman, you're left with Ish and Ish. Fire and fire consumes that marriage. Now, Amar Rava, Rava says, he comments, and he says, Udi Isha Adifa, the fire of the woman is harsher, and it's more swift to consume and to punish, Midi Ish, than it is by that of the man. Meaning in regards if they act immorally, which is the parasha of Saita that we see in regards to the woman. Now, my time, what's the reason? Because Hai Mitzaref, the fire of the woman is easily more to burn, is because the letter, there's no letter of Hashem's name that interrupts between the Aleph and the Shin of the fire. Rather, the Hay is attached as a suffix to the H. So therefore, it's you really have, in, even in the word of the Isha, you already have H together. It's just that you have the Hay at the edge. Now, therefore, once she starts doing things wrong, it's very easily Ish over there. Whereas V'hai Limitzarif, the Ish of the man, of Ish, you don't have the letters of the Aleph and the Shin combined together because the Yud of Hashem's name interrupts, and therefore it's not as easily turned into Ish as quickly as it could be by the woman, and therefore when a woman acts immorally, it's more harmful and detrimental and more easily consumed by this fire of inherent in their natures than it is by that of the man. Now another drasha from Rava, Amar Rava, related to this concept of Saita, Memnema Amr Torah Havi Ofer L'Saita. Why is it that the Torah tells us in one of the procedures, as we mentioned in the previous daf, that we have to bring the earth and put it into the waters that the Saita is going to drink? So on that, Rava explains, because Zachse, if the woman merits, meaning if she didn't do anything wrong, and it turns out she really was an appropriate woman, so Yetze Memendo Ben Kavram Avinu, what we tell her is that she'll merit, as the parsha says, that if she didn't do anything wrong, she will be benixer, benizra zera, she'll have children, she'll merit to have a child like Avram Avinu. The Chsiv Bey, which it says regarding him, Afer ve'efer, that he considered himself as dust and as ashes, which is a great attribute of humility, of anava, that you realize your place and your role, that you're nothing more than what Hashem makes you. So that's what's going to be by the Saita, that's why we give her offer. But we also are illustrating that Loizach, if she doesn't merit, if she actually had done something wrong, Tachzul HaFarish, she'll go back to her dust and she's going to die. Another exposition from Darish Rava, he says, B'schar she'am Avram Avinu v'anoichi ofer ve'efer, in the merit that Avram Avinu said, that what am I but dust and ashes, Zachu banav lebeis mitzvahs. So his sons merited to the following two mitzvahs, which are Efer Para, which is because he said he's ashes, they got the ashes of the Para Duma, and v'ofer Saita, and because he said he's dust, to the dust that's put into the waters of the Saita. Now the Gemara asks, but v'ika nami ofer kis ha'adam, what do you mean? There's a third mitzvah seemingly, because that should have been merited because he said, anoichi ofer ve'efer, which is the dust of covering the blood when you slaughter an animal, which is another mitzvah. So that the Gemara says, no hasam hechsher mitzvah, a deer that's just a preparation for the fulfillment of a mitzvah, but hano leka. But there is no pleasure, in other words, that cannot be considered receiving reward for saying anoichi ofer ve'efer, because there's no pleasure that comes out of it, it's just a fulfillment of that mitzvah. Now in contrast to these two mitzvahs, where there's an actual physical pleasure in this world, for example by the Saita, what it does, it makes peace amongst husband and wife, and that there shouldn't be an increase of illegitimate children in the Jewish people if she was mezana. It makes peace because it gets rid of that bad element, and also if she was nixa, if she really was clean, then it actually makes her become more fertile, and she has a child, and it also takes away the bad rumors regarding her children. So therefore, that's a tangible pleasure on this world. And so too, the Efer Par, the Asher, the Par Duma, which purifies the Jewish people from their Tumah, and it also merits them as a somewhat of a cleansing, and the Tahara, a Kapara from the Maisa Egel, which that's what the Parah is, it's the same family as the Egel. So therefore, there's a tangible pleasure in this world, so that's why we say that his children merited these two mitzvahs. So although there's another mitzvah with offer, but that wouldn't be considered a hano in this world. Again, Darsh Rava expounds. Says Beschar Sha'am Avram Avinu, in the merit that Avram Avinu said when he fought the war against the four kings and he won, so then the king of Sodom was offering him all the spoils of war. He said, no, imichut v'atzruch nal. He says, if I would to take even a thread, a string, or a shoelace, he says, I'm not taking anything, which he removed himself from taking things which are not belonging to him. So in that merit, zachu banav lebeis mitzvahs, his children merited two mitzvahs, which are the chut shal tcheles, the string of the blue wool that's on the tzitzis, which that correlates to him saying im michut, and v'rtzuah shel tefillin, the strap, the tefillin straps, which correlate to this that he said about a sruch, because that's also a shoe strap. So they merited to these two mitzvahs. Now the Gemara asks, bishlem v'rtzuah shel tefillin, we could understand regarding that it was considered a reward, and that there is pleasure by tefillin straps, because it says regarding tefillin in the Sefer Devarim, v'ro kol amei ha'aretz, kishem Hashem nikra lecha, that the people of the world will see that the name of Hashem is called upon you. Now that's definitely a great reward when we the world recognizes who we are. V'tanya, we learn the Brisa, v'lazar gadlaim, it says, elu tefillin shabarosh, that's a reference to tefillin on the head, and there are the tefillin straps, which are the, what comes out from that, and there's a manifestation, and the world gets to see that, that's obviously a pleasure. But elechot shal tcheles, but regarding the tcheles string of the tzitzis, mahi, what is that? What pleasure is there? What do we get? What's the tangible benefit that we have from that in this world? So the time like we learned in the Braisa. Rimei would say, manishtana tcheles. What was different about tcheles, which was necessary to, that the Torah writes that it should be used for the tzitzis, mikol menitzavayin, from all other dyes, from all other colors, why specifically tcheles? So on that, Remeir said, "Memnesha tcheles demeliyam," because tcheles, this blue woolish, is similar to the oceans. Now, v'yam demelirikia, the oceans, the seas are similar to the sky. Now, v'rikia demelikisa kavod, and the skies are similar to the Hashem's heavenly throne. Shnema, like it says a pasuk in Shemais, which describes the rikia, the sky, it says v'yiru es elikei Yisrael, that they saw the God of the Jewish people. This was by Har Sinai. V'tachas raglav kamaisa livenes asaper, and beneath his feet was like the form of sapphire brickwork. And like the essence of the heavens for purity. So we see that the Hashemayim was like sapphire, was like sapphire. Now, uksiv, and it says a pasuk in Yecheskel, in regard to the Kisei HaKavod, Hashem's heavenly throne, it says it's kemari even sapphire, like the vision of sapphire brick, which is demus kisei, which is the form of Hashem's throne. So we see that the Rikia is Daimel Lekisa HaKavod. So what this comes to teach us is that whoever fulfills the mitzvah of tzitzis is like he received the face of the divine presence as this taught in the Sefri, and that's obviously a tangible benefit we get in this world from the Tcheles. Now Rashi just points out that why do they have to go through all those levels of that the tzitzis, the Tcheles is like the Yam is like the Rikia is like the Kisa HaKavod. Why couldn't they just say that the Tcheles is like the Kisa HaKavod? So Rashi says because we actually don't find psukim that tell us what's similar to the Kisei HaKavod, the only one we have is the Rikia, as we prove that they're both called Livnas, is they're both called the Saper. Now, therefore, the Tcheles, the blue wool, is similar to the Yam. And we know that the sea is similar to the skies. Now, but actually the Tcheles is actually not so similar to the sky. It's just what's called, it's similar to something that's similar. That is, the Tcheles is similar to the color of the sea. And the sea is similar to the color of the sky. And we know from the Psukim that the sky is similar to the Kisei HaKavod, and that's how we get to that. And that's, again, the tangible benefit of having tzitzis, which is when you see that, then it reminds you of the sea, which is similar and reminds you of the sky, which is similar and reminds you of the Kisei HaKavod, and it brings a person the fear of God, which is the Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina in this world. Now the Mishnah continues regarding this writing of the Megillah of the Saita. And as we said, the machlik is regarding what psukim are written in those parishes of from pasuk yates to pasuk of beis. But our Mishnah tells us in a kaisiv that the kain doesn't write this parasha loy al aluach, not on a tablet of wood, v'loy al niyar, not on a certain type of paper which was made out of grass, which was they would crush the grass and attach it with like a glue, and it would smooth it out, and make it like a type of a paper which was similar to like a parchment, but it's not. Not parchment, it's not made from the hide of an animal. And v'loy ala, as we continue on, temet beis, hadifter. It cannot be written on difter, which is unfinished parchment, which is that the way you do it is you work on the hide, and it wasn't fully worked. It didn't have all three components, which is it had the salting process, it had the flour that you mix it with some type of flour process, but it didn't have this diftera, the gallnut process. So it's not finished. It's not considered what's necessary as parchment for the Megillah of the Sefer of the Parsha of Saita. Ella al Megillah. Rather, says that the Mishnah has to be written on the scroll, Shinem, like it says in the Pasuk, Ba Sefer, which means on the cloth, on parchment. That's what has to be written on. Now, moreover, that's regarding what it's written on. In the case to be, the writing instrument cannot be Leibu Kaimais. You can't use this type of a sap from a tree, which is then mixed with water, and you write from that. It's a type of an ink. You can't use that. Neither can you, as Rashi says, Megillah, use this type of a dye which is used to color shoes black. And neither can you use anything that leaves an imprint. In other words, which it gets absorbed into the parchment, you can't fully erase it, which Kaimis and Kankantim, they leave remnants, they make a mark, and you can never fully erase it. Ella bedyoy. Rather, what you do is you write with our ink made from a certain type of a sap. Shanem, like it says in the pasuk over there, it says umacha, that the kain goes and erases that parsha saita in the water, which means to tell you ksav shayachal imacha. It has to be a type of a writing which could be erased, and therefore that excludes kaimis and kakanim, which they leave a mark and it's not fully erased. Now, other halachas relating to the saita, Amar Rabbi says Megillah saita shenichtav balayla. We said that you have to write this scroll. So on that he says, if it was written during the nighttime, psula, it's invalid. My time, what's the reason? Asu Tara Tyra, we're learning Xerish Shav from the word Tyra. Ksev Hacha, here it says by the Saita, Va'asalah Kohen is called Tara Zayis. The Kohen does all, like all these halachas that are written over here in the Parsha of Saita. Ksev Hasim, it says the passing in the Varim, Al Peha Tyra Asher Yeruchav Ala Mishpat, based on the Tyra that he will teach you and on the judgment. So, Ma Mishpat Bayem, that passing that says the word Tyra and the term Mishpat. So therefore we make a comparison where in that pasuk, just like judgment, has to be during the day, which as the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Lamed Dalem Beis learns out from the pasuk V'hoi Bayoyim Hanchiloi, on the day of the inheritance, that law of inheritance has to be during the daytime. Saaf Megillah Saita Bayem, so also over here where it says the word Taira, which is the scroll of the Saita, has to be written during the daytime. Another halacha regarding the writing of this Megillah, which is Ksava L'mafreya, if the Kohen writes it backwards, where he writes Yerech, Lanpil, Betin, Litzvis, B'ma'ayich, which is in this order, meaning going backwards, or even if you write one of them backwards, and even if the rest is written the way it's supposed to be written, it's psula, it's going to be invalid. Tachsib, like it says in the pasuk, V'chasav es ha'olis ha'ela, that the Kohen should write these curses, which sounds like exactly as they're organized in the psukim, meaning ki dechsiva, as it's written over here, ha'ela, these, has to be written as is. If you write any of them backwards, then that's invalid. Another halacha, kisava kaidim shetekabal leha shvua. If the kohen wrote the Megillah before the woman accepted the oaths, which are written over there and in the parasha and then written in the scroll, which he makes her take an oath and she says, amen, amen, I agree. If he wrote it before she accepted these oaths, psul, it's invalid. Shnem, because it says in the pasuk v'yishbia, that the kohen will make her take the oath. And it's only v'achyach, it's only later that the pasuk says, or custom, that whatever's written over here, he should write. And he wrote it before she took the oaths. Another halacha, ksava igeres. If the kohen writes it as a letter, meaning without what's called a halacha of sirtut, which means say engraving lines in that scroll, psul, it's going to be invalid, because baseifer Amar Rachman, the Torah says, as we mentioned in the Mishnah, that he has to write it baseifer in a scroll, and it's halacha mechamisina that anything that's called a sefer needs this halacha of sirtut. So therefore, if he writes it without sirtut, it's invalid. Now we continue on top of Yudches Amar Aleph. Another halacha, which is ksava al shnei dafin. If he writes it on two pages, meaning like the pages of a Sefer Torah, which are written with amudim, columns, if it's written in two columns, psula, it's invalid. Because Sefer Echad, Amar Rachman, the Torah says, ba Sefer, which is singular, which is in one scroll, v'leishnayim v'shleish yisram, and not two or three scrolls, meaning it can't be more than the one, a column that it's supposed to be. Now, another halacha, kasav ois echas, let's say he writes one letter and then erases that letter in the water. And then he goes again, then he writes the next letter after that, and then he erases that letter until he ends up doing the whole parsha by writing that letter, erasing, writing, and then he writes it, the whole thing and erases the whole thing that way, psula, that's going to be invalid. Because it says in the pasuk, "Va'asul la'akoyin es kol ha'terazayis," so the kohen should do for her the whole entire halacha that it's written over here, which tells you that you have to have the whole thing as one written, and only then do you erase it. And therefore, if you write and erase, that's going to be possible.